Hello, this is Richard Davis, welcoming you to At Home This Morning, our magazine programme for older listeners, which we hope will also be of interest to the not-so-old. Coming up in this edition, we'll be hearing about the forthcoming Heritage Open Days, which will be taking place in Brighton and Hove, and indeed across the whole of the UK, during a couple of weekends in September. Then Catherine Stead, the administrator of the Brighton and Hove Philharmonic Society, will be previewing the first half of the Brighton Philharmonic Orchestra's season of orchestral concerts on Sunday afternoons at the Dome. And Chris English will be looking forward to the Southampton Boat Show. As usual, we'll be giving out various email addresses, website addresses and telephone numbers during the course of the programme, so you may like to have a pencil and paper handy so that you can write them down. So, first let's hear about the Heritage Open Days. With me in the studio is Paul Catchman from the Regency Townhouse, who are coordinating the Open Day scheme for Brighton and Hove. Welcome, Paul. Can you start by telling us what Heritage Open Days are?
Heritage Open Days is a national event. It's coordinated by the National Trust. They've got a whole office up in London to coordinate it. Basically, there's two weekends, or actually two four-day events that happen. So the 6th and 9th of September and the 13th to the 16th of September. And basically, it's all heritage-related activities.
Is this the first time they've happened?
No, it's been going on for about, I don't know, it's 20 years now. The Regency Townhouse has been involved since the early 90s, and we've been coordinating lots of the local events to make sure that the programme gets out and people know what's happening. We can tell everyone through our website and through our publicity.
I was going to ask what the involvement of the Regency Townhouse was, because you do seem to have details of all the events on your website.
Exactly, yeah. We've got all local events on our website, but there's also a national website as well, with all details of everything that's happening. So there's two ways of looking at it. You can go straight to the national website and type things in, or you can look on ours, and we've got like listings of all the different places and the types of activities that are taking place as well.
I went to your website just to see what was happening. I was amazed just how many places are actually going to be open.
It's incredible, isn't it? And we get more every year as well. So we get more and more events, more people coming to take part. We get more visitors. And I think this year, because there's a lot of national publicity as well, the bookings, I can just say, have been going crazy. I mean, we opened booking on the 13th of August for the events where you need to book. We've already got loads and loads of events full. So that's excellent. But there are lots of events that you can just turn up to. I must say that. You don't have to plan. You don't have to book a ticket. You can just turn up on those dates. And there will be things happening in Brighton and Hove. Absolutely.
But you need to know in advance which you have to book for.
Yeah. But the Regency Townhouse will be at centre, so you will be able to pop along to us and find out things on the days themselves. There'll be people. There'll be events and exhibitions going on as well, so you can find out from us. It's sometimes nicer to hear from a person than from a website, isn't it?
Yes, definitely more friendly, isn't it?
Indeed.
So what sort of places are going to be open?
Well, I couldn't give you the whole list.
It runs to several pages, doesn't it?
Indeed, it does. For a lot of our visitors, they find it quite daunting. You get this massive list, don't you, when you look on the website and you think, oh, God, where do I start?
Yes, that's right.
I can show a few highlights. I mean, one that's particularly popular, all the volunteers at the Regency Townhouse went along to this incredible underground shelter. So it's under Downs Primary School. It's called Take Shelter. And basically, they recreated a 1940s war experience. So there's sounds and movement. They have a small kitchen there. Basically, when you go inside, it's like you're under an air attack, which some of our volunteers found absolutely terrifying. But it's a real, you know, it's a real gut feeling you get in your stomach, in your head. You can feel it right in your body, all the experiences. Quite amazing. Great way of experiencing history. Because, of course, the 40s is just as much heritage as some of the early buildings that you've got in Brighton. Absolutely incredible experience. And what we try and do with the experiences of Heritage Open Days is not just about seeing old buildings and churches, as lovely as they are. It's about experiencing history in different ways.
I've actually booked up to go on a tour of the Duke of York cinema.
That's going to be incredible. Yeah. Who's doing it? Because last time they had an usherette who was dressed up doing it. Which is an excellent idea.
I don't know. I know the date and the time, but I don't know any more details.
Yeah, I think it might be. We had last year we had an usherette who did on various cinemas, in old cinemas actually, in Brighton and Hove. So she would take a tour of not just cinemas that existed, but also cinemas that had existed. So I don't know if she's doing it again this year, but it's a nice little quirk on a tour, I think. The Duke of York is beautiful, and it's great to see behind the scenes, I think.
Yes, that's the interest as far as I'm concerned. See how much of the technical side I can look at.
Indeed.
Technical side, past and present.
Yeah.
Another thing I noticed that the Brighton and Hove Archaeological Society are opening their dig up at Rocky Clump, which we visited a few years ago with the programme, actually.
Yeah, we always have some sort of archaeological dig open. This year it's going to be very special. People love that. I mean, how often can you get to see things like this? I mean, only on television. So I really encourage people to book up on that and get along to that. It's a great thing to do.
So can you give me a few more highlights your list?
I mean, I've got to talk about my own. I'm giving one myself.
Of course.
Well, as you know, I've got a multitude of things I do. Cooking is one of them, and publicity. But also, I do lime plastering.
All right.
So it's an old traditional form of plastering, basically. Before the modern stuff came along, they used to use lime.
Hmm.
And what we've got is a small workshop. It's about an hour where you can actually get your hands on the stuff. We actually have a test wall where people can put the plaster on. I teach them how to put the plaster on. They can feel and smell, you know, what it looks like. It's quite heavy. It's quite quite earthy smell. There are still places available. I mean, that's great. It's just great fun. You get very dirty and messy, and it's like being a kid again. It's like playing with mud. Great thing. And it's history. Again, it's history. So history in a different way.
And that's at the Regency Townhouse, is it?
In the Regency Townhouse. If the weather's good, we'll do it outside in the courtyard, which is quite fun. If not, we'll use the old kitchen. We do it in the old kitchen. So you get to see a bit of the building as well, which is always fun.
OK, so going back to practicalities, can you repeat the dates that it's taking place?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got the 6th and 9th, so that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday of September, 6th and 9th of September. And we've got the 13th to the 16th of September as well. Again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And, you know, obviously the weekends are going to be the busiest times. If you've got time during the week, it's great to come on a Thursday or Friday because you like to find events that have got more places.
And the best way to find out information is from the Regency Townhouse website, isn't
it? Go first to us. Go first to the Regency Townhouse. It's www.rth.org.uk. If you go straight to the homepage, there is a link that will take you straight through to that great big list we were just talking about of all the different events. You can click onto those and you can see all the details of the events, the times, whether you have to book or not, whether you can just turn up.
Okay, and there are some people who don't have a computer, of course. How can they find out information?
There are copies available at the library. But if you go along to Brighton Library, they should have a print-out version of it that you can find out. You can also just phone us up as well.
And what's the phone number?
01273 206 306. And somebody will help you there and give you some suggestions as well.
And people can actually book online via the website, but there again, if they haven't got a computer, how can they go about booking?
It's a case of phoning us up and we can do that for you.
So phone the Regency Townhouse on Brighton 206 306, and they will be able to make the booking for you there.
Exactly. So you're always free to phone that number.
But the message really is that there's an awful lot going on. And there are all sorts of places that you wouldn't normally get access to. But if you want to actually visit any of these places, they're booking up fast, so the thing to do is find out quickly where you'd like to go and make sure you book for it. Yeah. Assuming it's one that you need to book for, of course.
Absolutely. On the launch date, we advise people, you know, get ready, get booking. And things like the tours go incredibly quickly. People love seeing behind the tours. I know from the tours we do of the townhouse, people love going to places they're not supposed to be in. I mean, who doesn't like that feeling? What we're doing now is we're doing two weekends. Every year we have problems that people say, oh, we missed it.
Mm.
So with these two weekends, hopefully people will discover it, maybe not decide on things for the first weekend, but be able to go to the second.
Paul Catchman, thanks very much.
Before we go, actually, I mentioned this a woman called Jilly, who is one of our volunteers, and they're doing amazing Denman architectural walk that she told me to make sure I told you about, or told your listeners about, actually. So we'll give a plug to that. So it's a Denman architectural walk. There's two of our volunteers leading that, and it's a fascinating insight into architectural heritage, actually, and the legacy of one great architect.
So Denman was an architect, was he?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Forgive my ignorance.
No, it's mainly 20s, 30s buildings. It's a fascinating period as well. So if you think of something like Barclays Bank on North Street, that was designed by him.
Oh, right.
It's
yes.
That type of architecture. Yes. Very fascinating for people interested in architecture, as I say. Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I was talking to Paul Catchman about the Heritage Open Days, which take place on the 6th to the 9th of September and the 13th to the 16th of September. If you'd like more information about the Open Days in Brighton and Hove, you can find it out from the Regency Townhouse's website, which is at www.rth.org.uk. That's www.rth.org.uk. Or you can phone them on Brighton 206 306. That's 01273 206 306. You should also be able to find information in the Brighton Central Library, just next to the Dome. If you'd like to find out about the Heritage Open Days, which are taking place a bit further afield, you can get the information from the National Trust's website. Now, this is quite a long address, so I don't blame Paul Catchman for not giving it. The National Trust's website is at www.nationaltrust, which is typed all as one word, .org.uk/features/heritage-open-days-2018. I'll give you that again. It's www.nationaltrust.org.uk/features/heritage-open-days-2018. Well, now for something else that's coming up in Brighton in the next few weeks. And I'm joined in the studio by Catherine Stead of the Brighton Philharmonic, who's going to tell us about the first half of their forthcoming concert season. Over to you, Catherine.
On Monday the 10th of September, tickets go on sale for the Brighton Philharmonic Orchestra's latest concert season at Brighton Dome. We perform 7 Sunday afternoon concerts in the concert hall between October and March, and a traditional Viennese gala concert on New Year's Eve, which has become firmly established as part of the city's festivities. The orchestra is joined by an array of world-class musicians to perform popular works by Elgar, Dvorak, Rachmaninoff, Mozart, Beethoven, and Strauss. And that's just the first half of the season. All our concerts start at 2:45 p.m. and last for a couple of hours with a 20-minute interval. And I'm here today to tell you about the first 4 concerts of the season. For our opening concert on Sunday the 14th of October, we're joined by Brighton Festival Chorus, who are celebrating their 50th anniversary this year, for a feast of British choral music under the baton of conductor Barry Wordsworth. The concert opens in celebratory style with Shostakovich's lively festive overture and Handel's choral masterpiece Zadok the Priest. Elgar and Parry are amongst the most influential composers of the early 20th century, which were years of great change and anguish. We look back to the conclusion of World War I and the great sacrifices made by so many with Parry's moving symphonic poem From Death to Life, commissioned by the 1914 Brighton Festival, which portrays the composer's personal reaction to the First World War and the spiritual triumph of life over death. The second half of the concert opens with Elgar's Cocaine Overture, a musical evocation of the bustling streets of Edwardian London, and concludes with the idyllic Scenes from the Bavarian Highlands, which Elgar was inspired to write by a walking holiday, the choral texts being written by his wife, Alice. The chorus will also sing two of Elgar's glorious settings of psalms, Great is the Lord, Psalm 48, and O Hearken Thou, written for the coronation of King George V in 1911. The Brighton Phil's conductor laureate, Barry Wordsworth, recently recorded a number of Elgar's works for choir and orchestra with Brighton Festival Chorus, including several of the pieces we'll be performing. Their CD, entitled Ecce Sacerdos Magnus, is available on the Somme recording label. Our second concert takes place on Remembrance Sunday, the 11th of November, with the orchestra joined by Freddie Kempf as both pianist and conductor. Freddie is a long-time favourite of British audiences after winning the BBC Young Musician of the Year in 1992 with a performance that catapulted him to international recognition. Our programme journeys from the brilliant fireworks of Rossini's overture Semiramide to the sombre beauty of Dvorak's Seventh Symphony. The centrepiece is Beethoven's intense third piano concerto, one of the finest piano concertos ever written, which veers from delight to despair in music that mines the depths of emotion and melodic inspiration. Composed in 1800 at a time of great political turmoil, as Napoleon was marching his armies on Vienna, it is full of drama and emotion as Beethoven struggled to come to terms with his own increasingly poor health and loss of hearing. Our concert closes with Dvorak's Symphony No. 7, one of the most endearing and popular of his 9 symphonies. This profoundly intimate work was written in 1885 as a commission for the London Philharmonic Society. Dvorak described it to a friend, "What is in my mind is love, God, and my fatherland." It presents the listener with Dvorak's love of his country and the folk music that characterises its national pride. Moving into December, and for our third concert of the season, on Sunday the 2nd of December, we have an early Christmas present for our regular Brighton Dome audience. The young British conductor, Ben Gernon, performed with us for the first time last January and was an instant hit with audience and orchestra alike. It is a huge pleasure to welcome him back to Brighton, along with another audience favourite, the violinist Tamsin Whaley-Cohen, in a concert that showcases works of irresistible zest and wit by two musical titans, Mozart and Beethoven. Mozart's Symphony No. 35 started life as a serenade for his childhood friend Siegmund Haffner. It was first performed in Vienna in 1783 to great acclaim and is full of energy and invention. Tamsin joins us to perform one of the most frequently played violin concertos ever written, Mozart's Fifth, the Turkish, so called because of the Turkish-sounding music in the last movement. It is a work that is spirited and serene by turns, with a lightness of touch that verges on the mischievous. The concert concludes with Beethoven's Symphony No. 7, full of innovative orchestration, spontaneity and lively rhythms, which surges to one of the most thrilling endings in all music. It was first performed in Vienna in 1813, with the composer himself conducting, and at the time he considered it to be one of my best works. The audience certainly agreed, demanding that the second movement be encored immediately.
Thanks, Catherine. I know you've got some more to tell us, but let's take a break at this point, shall we? Well, Catherine Stead has been telling us about the series of concerts, and we'll be hearing a bit more from her in a few minutes, specifically about the New Year's Eve concert. which features music from Vienna by the Strausses and their contemporaries, and also about the more mundane aspects of how you can get tickets for the Brighton Philharmonic's concerts and where you can park. But before we go back to Catherine, I've got another person in the studio with me today as well. It's Chris English. And the reason that he's here today, when it should be his day off, is that he wants to tell us about a particularly important event in the sailing calendar that's coming up in the next week or so.
Absolutely. And that, of course, is Southampton Boat Show, which runs from the 14th to the 23rd of September. And to find out about it and how much influence it has on the yachting scene here in Brighton, I went down to the marina and spoke to Charles Wilkinson from Black Rock Yachting and asked him how important in the boating scene Southampton Boat Show is.
Well, it's a huge boat show. It's one of the biggest in Europe for small boats. So it gives us great exposure. It gives, you know, gives everyone great exposure to the boating market, really. Lots of people don't know about boats. They come to the boat show and they see what potential there is to get into. You've got, you know, from small dinghies to, you know, bigger sailing cruisers. And, you know, it's a great time to really see what it's all about.
And where can you start with boating?
Well, it depends where you're at, really. You know, if you're into motor or sailing, you know, myself, I've had a sailing background, and most people, you know, have been on sailing cruises, you know, for fun. But if you want to get into it, you can always start small, and it's just a great way to get into it, really.
What about boating yourself? What do you do?
Well, I'm a broker in Brighton Marina, but I used to work professionally on yachts. So, yeah, I've had sailing experience, but mostly on motor cruises as well.
And that's super yachts, you were telling me.
Super yachts as well, yes, in the past, yeah.
So what makes a super yacht?
Well, good question. I think a super yacht, I think they're just, when they're just, you know, enormous in size. So the one I used to work on was 60 metres, which is 190 feet. You know, it had 16 crew, 12 guests. So, you know, it was a really big operation, you know, 650 gross ton ship. Yeah, so that was the super yacht industry. Of course, very different to what's in Southampton Boat Show. What you'll see in Southampton Boat Show will be, you know, small boats, you know, up to the size of 60 feet or so. And that's perfect for family holidays. You know, you can go sail cruising or motor cruising. It's completely up to you and what your needs are.
And is there a starting age and an age, perhaps somebody like me, who's not as young as I used to be,
right,
can start boating?
No, not at all. I mean, of course, the bigger boats, and they're more suitable. That, you know, the smaller you go, really a bit more hands-on. But if you have a 40-foot sailing cruiser, you know, they're perfectly you know, user-friendly for middle-aged people and whatnot. Yeah, absolutely. I've been recently on a sailing cruiser that was 44-foot, and you know, the winches and everything, very easy to use. You know, of course, it helps if you've got someone a bit younger who can do all the dirty work and just run around deck and whatnot. But no, it's very easy. Of course, motor is a lot easier. You know, for the elderly. But yeah, it's very user friendly. Most of the boats nowadays, very easy. Everything's electronically operated, more or less, and yeah, very easy.
And what about qualifications? Do you need qualifications to be able to go and buy a boat?
No, you don't. Typically, we advise, you know, people to get day skipper, which is quite a standard one. But, you know, if it's a private boat, no, you don't need it. If it's below 24 metres, you're fine. So, yeah, no qualifications needed, really, for these kind of size boats.
And what happens if you want to try it before you do it? I mean, can you rent a boat for a holiday and that sort of thing?
Yeah, of course, you can charter boats, you know, wherever in the Mediterranean. If you go on holiday to France or Spain, you can charter a, you know, sailing boat or a motorboat, and you have a skipper with you, and you can get a really good feel for it. Otherwise, in Brighton Marina, we have Lagoon Water Sports, and you can go on a sailing cruiser for a weekend. I did that recently for fun, just to get some sailing experience and, you know, back up to scratch. Very easy to do. Yeah, you can get on a sailing cruiser, which is 36 feet, and do some sailing hands-on. Or if you wanted to get on a rib, or, you know, there's all sorts around. You know, it's very easy to get involved.
And cost is obviously a vital part of it. What about cost? Where does it start? And presumably the sky's the limit.
Well, the boating industry obviously is the leisure industry. You know, it's a luxury to have. Everyone wants to get a boat. So it's not cheap, but if you're in it for the short term, it can be, really rewarding in terms of what kind of holidays you can have with your family. It's an exceptional experience. If you can get your children on the water at a young age, they'll never forget it. So, yes, it's not that cheap, but, it's an amazing experience to be had.
It's been said that boating, sailing in particular, is like standing under a cold shower, tearing up £50 notes. Is that true?
I can't tell you because I haven't owned one. But from what I've heard, it's so-so. It depends on how long you have the boat and how well it's been kept. If you keep on top of things, it's fine. It's not too expensive. But it's the experience really, and it's worth it. That's what I've been told.
And what is the thing that makes boating, sailing, or power the thing for you?
Oh, it's just the freedom to get onto the water. Once you do that on a sunny day and anchor off somewhere and can go for a swim, you'll realise what kind of freedom you can have. And when you're sailing in the wind and there's no, you don't need to rely on anything, just your sails. So it's a great experience and it's definitely worth it.
That was Charles Wilkinson from Black Rock Yachting talking to me about Southampton Boat Show and boating in general. Talking about the boat show itself, that starts on Friday the 14th and runs until Sunday the 23rd. It's open from 10 a.m. every day until 6:30 p.m. You can buy tickets on the day. They'll cost about, depending on the day, £21-25 per adult. Child is £10. But if you book in advance online, you can make substantial savings on those costs. So if you want to look online, just put Southampton Boat Show into one of the Google machines or another web server, and that will find out all the details for you. It takes place in Southampton, obviously. Mayflower Park, which is normally just a green area alongside the river, is turned into this huge marina and village. Enormous number of large marquees, about 200 or 300 boats actually afloat that you can go and climb all over. There's 4,000 car spaces nearby if you're going to drive down, or if you prefer to use the train, there's a direct train from Brighton, goes to Southampton Central, and you can then either walk about 10 minutes or take a bus or taxi to the boat show site itself. As I say, there's hundreds of boats of all shapes and sizes to enable you to get afloat. And in recent programmes, we've been hearing about Tracy Edwards and her maiden factor, and the maiden voyage will actually start from the Southampton Boat Show, and maiden will be tied up alongside, and you'll be able to have a look over that as well as all the other boats and things. It's a great show, even if you're not a boating enthusiast. If you just want to look at boats, it's amazing. And there's live stage with all sorts of entertainment going on. So if you're vaguely interested in all of the activity that goes on the seashore, you can go down there. And of course, you can also book one of those boating holidays and get more details that Charles was talking about earlier. And I don't know if that's how a local resident of St Dunstan's, it's got a new name, but I think we all know it as St Dunstan's, just completed rowing across the Pacific, 2,700 miles, a blind ex-Royal Marine, Steve Sparky Sparks, and they rowed their boat, they being Steve and Mike Dawson, who himself comes from Brighton. And they set off from Monterey Bay, California, and arrived in Honolulu in the last few days. You can get more information online. Cockleshell Pacific Endeavour, raising money for various charities, including, of course, St Dunstan's, and generally injured ex-servicemen. So hopefully we'll be having an interview with Steve and Mike when they're back in the UK, and that could well be in the next programme.
Oh, that's been quite interesting, yes. I take it knowing your interest, Chris, you're actually going to the Southampton Boat Show, are you?
I'm afraid I will, much to my wife's disgust, but I will be down there. But I promise not to buy any boats.
Or at least if you do, the only very cheap ones.
Well, definitely. But you can buy lots of things. You don't just have to go to buy a boat. There's, you know, a bit of rope for your boat, or even things like table mats that have anti-slip surfaces, so that when the boat's rocking about a bit, the cups and saucers don't all rock it off onto the floor. And bedding for the boats, pictures of boats that you can put on your wall if you just like looking rather than actually doing the boating. As I say, it's a whole day out. You can spend hours and hours and hours just walking around. It does get a bit tiring, but there are lots of places to sit down, and you can watch and, of course, eat and drink as well.
Well, I'm sure you'll have a great day out, and no doubt you'll tell us all about it when you get back.
I will indeed, and, of course, it's even more important this year, Southampton Boat Show, because the people who organise it, which is the British Marine Federation, have announced that there's not going to be a London boat show anymore. And this being the 50th anniversary of Southampton, it's going to take on just that little bit extra.
So it'll be the most important boat show in the country then?
Very much so, and quite a lot of Europe.
That's good. OK, Chris, thanks very much.
A pleasure.
Well, now it's time to go back to Catherine Stead to hear a bit more about the Brighton Philharmonic Society's series of Sunday afternoon orchestral concerts at the Dome. But in fact, the first concert she's going to tell us about isn't on a Sunday afternoon, but on a Monday.
Bringing the first half of our season to a close and ushering in the new year, the orchestra presents our traditional New Year's Eve Viennese Gala on Monday the 31st of December. Richard Balcombe makes a welcome return to Brighton as guest conductor, joined by the Russian-born soprano Ilona Domnich, who was chosen by Opera Now magazine as one of their top 10 high-flying sopranos destined to have impressive careers. As you would expect, this will be a programme full of favourites from the Waltz Kings of Vienna, the Strauss family, with a swirl of waltzes, marches and polkas from this talented musical dynasty who dominated the music scene in Vienna throughout the 19th century. Alongside these evergreen favourites, we will also include some delightful tunes from other composers from the world of dance, and Ilona's lyric coloratura will add sparkle to our afternoon with an array of delightful songs and arias from well-known operettas and musicals from the 19th century and beyond. The full concert programme will be available nearer the time on our website at www.brightonphil.org.uk. This will be our 29th New Year's Eve Viennese Gala, which is always one of our most popular concerts of the season, and we're most grateful to the John Carew Brighton Orchestra Trust for their continued support of the Brighton Phil and of our annual Viennese Gala. We nearly sold out last year, so if you would like to join us to see out the old year and welcome in the new, book your tickets early to avoid disappointment. Tickets for all the Brighton Philharmonic's concerts are available from the Brighton Dome Ticket Office in Church Street, and you can buy them in person over the counter or by telephone on 01273 709 709, or online at www.brightondome.org. If you go into the ticket office and pay cash, you won't have to pay any fees or admin charges. Tickets range from £12.50 to £39.50, and there's a 50% discount for students, under 18s, and anyone receiving job seekers allowance, pension credit or income support. You can purchase a family ticket where up to two children can attend for just £1 each, and anyone who is registered disabled is entitled to a free ticket for a companion. Group discounts are available if you're booking 10 or more tickets for a particular concert. Season tickets are available for people who'd like to attend all our concerts, or a part season ticket for either the first three or the last four concerts of the season. These save you 20% of what you would pay if you bought single tickets for each concert. A great incentive for those attending our concerts is discounted parking. The standard fee for 4 hours parking at the NCP Church Street car park on Sundays is normally an eye-watering £26, but our concert attendees can enjoy a reduced rate of just £6 for up to 5 hours, provided they park between the hours of 1pm and 6pm. This rate applies to all Brighton Philharmonic concerts at the Dome, including New Year's Eve, and all you need to do is collect a follow-on ticket from the Dome at the concert, which you then put in the parking machine when you leave to reduce the cost down to just £6. So just to recap on the dates again for the first half of our season at the Dome: Sunday the 14th of October for a feast of choral music with Brighton Festival Chorus; Sunday the 11th of November, Remembrance Sunday, with Freddie Kempf and music by Rossini, Beethoven and Dvorak; and Sunday the 2nd of December for Mozart and Beethoven with Ben Gurnon and Tamsin Whaley-Cohen. And to round off the first half of the season and the end of 2018, our New Year's Eve Viennese Gala with Richard Balcombe and Ilona Domnich on Monday the 31st of December. All concerts start at 2:45pm and last for a couple of hours. Looking ahead to 2019, we have four more wonderful concerts between January and March, with guest artists including cellist Thomas Carroll, who'll be performing Schumann's Lyrical Cello Concerto, soprano Camilla Roberts, singing Richard Strauss's reflective and atmospheric Four Last Songs, and pianist Stephen Osborne, performing Rachmaninoff's virtuosic Piano Concerto No. 3, probably the most challenging and feared of all the piano concertos in the Romantic repertoire, demanding pianistic brilliance of the soloist. In March, conductor Barry Wordsworth will be taking us on a musical travelogue with Mendelssohn's Fingal's Cave, Tchaikovsky's Capriccio Italien, Butterworth's The Banks of Green Willow, and many more wonderfully evocative pieces. If you'd like to find out more about any of our concerts or about the orchestra, our website is www.brightonphil.org.uk, and we're also on Facebook as Brighton Phil and on Twitter as @BPO_orchestra. Our office is in George Street, Brighton, and our email address is mail@brightonphil.org.uk. Well, thank you very much for listening. I hope that I've whetted your appetite with this preview and that you will come and join us, the Brighton Philharmonic Orchestra, at Brighton Dome on a Sunday afternoon this season.
Thanks, Catherine. Catherine Stead has been giving us a preview of the first half of the Brighton Philharmonic Orchestra's season of Sunday afternoon orchestral concerts at the Dome. And that brings us to the end of our programme for this time. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed everything you've heard in this edition of At Home This Morning, our magazine programme for older listeners. There'll be another edition in a fortnight's time, and that'll be presented by Chris English. And I'll be back with you in 4 weeks' time. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with me to let me know what you think of the programme, or perhaps to suggest items you might like me to cover in future editions, I'd love to hear from you. There are two ways of getting in touch. You can either contact me by email at the following address: info@greymattersproductions.org.uk. That's info, spelled I-N-F-O, at Grey Matters Productions, which is typed all as one word, .org.uk. Or you can contact me via the Radio Reverb website. If you go to the website and find the page that's devoted to At Home This Morning, you can send me an email from there. And whichever method you choose, I'd love to hear from you. So until we meet again, this is Richard Davis, on behalf of Grey Matters Productions, who make this programme for Radio Reverb, wishing you all the very best. Goodbye.
At Home This Morning is a Grey Matters production for Radio Reverb.